Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
I hear the Lord's heart, and He wants to communicate to you. I am the Lord your God. I am the Creator of heaven and earth. But I have become your Heavenly Father as you have received my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I walk alongside of you. I never leave your side. I walk with you through the difficult times. I never leave you.
Right.
And I'm going to see you through.
Yes, yes.
And you will get to where I've intended you to be.
Yes.
But more important, I'm working on the inside.
Mm.
I'm turning your heart towards me. I'm breaking down those things that hinder you, that torment you.
Yes.
I'm opening your eyes to see what I'm doing.
Yes.
I'm opening your ears to hear my voice. I'm pushing back the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm causing you to have courage.
Yes.
To stand up and speak.
Yes.
And honor my name. I'm going to give you influence, says God, right where you're at.
Amen.
As you honor my name, I will honor you, says your God. I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Yes.
And every pain you feel, I feel. And I stand ready to heal and to help.
Yes, yes.
For I am the Lord, your God, your Father.
Yes.
Awesome. We receive it, Lord. We receive it, Lord. Yes, good word. Good word. Amen. Oh, I feel the presence of the Lord so strong, and it's so important that we take our time to just worship the Lord and then let Him speak to our hearts. And it's a supernatural thing, and I really feel this is a time where God would do supernatural things with us, healing word you just heard. And I was thinking as Pastor Gary was prophesying, it's been a joy to four times visit Israel. And one of my favorite spots there as I take people to journey through the Holy Land is there in the east side of Jerusalem. We always come for a little time at the Pool of Bethesda, which is right outside of St. Anne's Chapel. And it's a very, very special, beautiful place. And remembering the story in John chapter 5 when an angel used to trouble the water. And at those special times, you know, there were opportunities, just moments where it was like God was moving and people would get in. And if they were able to touch the water at that season, then they would be healed. And I feel like we're at a season of the troubling of the waters. And I think sometimes even when it feels like the waters of our life are troubled, maybe there's stress and there's strain and there's difficulty, that's the very time where God would ordain a healing for us. And I think this message that I'm going to share this morning, and this whole church is really about healing, the Gateway Healing Network and Cleansing Streams, which, by the way, our beautiful Cleansing Streams ministry starts this Wednesday night. You should, if you're a person looking to find some strength and healing on the inside, I could not make a higher recommendation to you than to be a part of our Cleansing Streams ministry. And there's information in the lobby. You can see Pastor John or Pastor Joy and Greg about that. But I really feel like this is a season with this message and Cleansing Streams and everything else that's going on where God just wants to do a deep work. And that really was a great prophetic word that we heard just now about God wanting to connect deep into our hearts. So let's get into the message, and let's ask the Lord to just move mightily through this message. I want to welcome everyone that's joining us online. We're running about 40, 50, 60, 80 people sometimes in our online church. People joining, they can't make it to the service, and they're coming in from all over the world, or maybe they're not feeling well, they just decide to take the service. So welcome. We're glad you're a part of us. And we bless you in the name of the Lord. And if you're joining us in the cafe, what a great opportunity for us to be together. I want to begin a series for the next three weeks, just a short series, but a prophetic series that I really believe is from the heart of God. And I believe it's going to go deep in our lives where God wants to talk to us about healing the orphan heart. And it begins in Romans chapter 14. This revelation that I want to share with you is found in Romans 14. Look at it carefully and allow the Holy Spirit to speak these words fresh to you today. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you. Everyone say, he adopted me. When he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. Everybody say, I'm not broke. Hallelujah. Hey, if God is your father and you are standing to receive an inheritance, you got a lot of wealth. You are not a poor person. And you are not an orphan. You're a son and you're a daughter of God. We are his heirs. In fact, it says, together with Christ, we are heirs of his glory. A few weeks back, Kathy and I were in one of our favorite places in the world, and there were two of our friends. We were there in Maui. Two of our preacher friends were there, so we got together for dinner. Apostle John Benefiel and Robert Henderson, who many of you have met many times. Robert's been here and has preached, and these are high-level teachers of the Word of God. They understand, you know, the courtroom of heaven, and John Benefiel, my goodness, he's got a worldwide prayer network. He's involved in 50 nations, and he's got a prayer network in all 50 states in the United States. These are heavy hitters, and so we're having dinner together, and we just start talking about, what is God saying to you? What's the revelation? What are you preaching? What are you reading? You know, we're just talking about the Bible, and we all shared something. Our wives were there with us, and then John Benefiel, this great apostle, he says, you know, I've just been reading and trying to concentrate on understanding the love that God has for me as his child. And I thought, of all the revelations that an apostle could be thinking about, that here's this high-powered guy, and he's just focusing on trying to understand that God loves him and that he is a child of God. And that thing hit me like a cannonball. And that was when I realized that no matter where you're from, no matter what your background, no matter what your station in life, if you've been serving God for a long, long time, or you're brand new to it, or maybe you don't even know God, there is a place in the life of every single person that longs to understand the reality that we are covered, that we are forgiven, that we are protected, that we are safe. And that understanding is vital, absolutely vital, to our spiritual health and to every relationship that we have. If you don't understand that God is your father and that he has adopted you and that you are loved by him, if you don't understand that you're safe, then your marriage is not going to be well. And your relationship with your family members is not going to be well. And your relationship with your employees and your supervisors and your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, you're going to struggle in all those areas until the moment comes when you finally fully experience the love of God. Every single one of us, regardless of where we were born or what our background is, shares this need to know the love of God. But I have good news for you. Nobody loves you like God loves you. God already loves you. God loves you perfectly and deeply and fully. God loves you, and he alone, God alone, can satisfy that need that is in your life. God is the only one that can meet that deep need in your life and cause you to relax from all the stress and all the fear and all the striving and all the struggling of life. Once you understand that God's love is in place and immovable in your heart, it totally changes everything about your life. Billions are desperate for love. Every child born in India or China or Latin America or America, every child is born with a need for love. We come into this world hoping that someone will nurture us, hold us, feed us, care for us, cover us, and protect us. But so many in the world have never experienced God's love. Now, many of us have heard that God loves us. We've been told that God loves us. If you grew up in church, one of the first scriptures you probably ever learned was John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you've been around any kind of a church, any kind of a Christian background, you would have heard very quickly that God is love and that he loves you. But have you taken the experience, have you taken the fullness of that revelation into your heart? I meet people from time to time, being from California, and one of the things they often ask me about is, what's the ocean like? You know, there's a whole lot of people in the world that have never seen an ocean. If you grew up, for example, in Kansas, and you've never really even left Kansas, you've never seen the ocean. You've heard about it. You've seen pictures of it. You've seen movies about the ocean. But until you get in a car or get on a plane and leave Kansas, Dorothy, and head for a coast, right? Head to Florida or head over here to California or to the East Coast. Until you actually make that journey to the body of water called the ocean. And unless you actually throw your shirt off and take your shoes off and run through the sand and dive into the surf and experience the ocean, you've only heard about the ocean, but you haven't experienced it. And I think there are so many people that when it comes to the love of God, it's the identical experience. We know that God loves us. We've heard that God loves us, but we haven't yet taken that journey. We haven't ever yet really taken steps to somehow encounter the love of God. Well, my brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, you're in a church where you're going to encounter the love of God. And I'm going to nag you, and I'm going to hound you, and I'm going to preach to you, and I'm going to talk to you until you leave Kansas and take the journey into the love of God. Because once you experience the love of God, and your heart is satisfied, and you actually fully understand. And it doesn't even matter if you've been in church forever. I don't care how many sermons you've heard about the love of God, or how many songs you've sung as a child or as a teenager or all these years. If you haven't taken that journey to actually experience it, you need to take the journey. And the Spirit of God is inviting you to leave where you are and take a journey into the ocean of God's love and to jump in. Now, I'm talking to us about the theme of an orphan heart. What do I mean by that? Let me unpack this just for a few minutes. Kathy and I were missionaries in the Philippine Islands, and we lived just within probably 50 yards of an orphanage. And orphans were around us all the time. Our kids grew up playing with orphans, and I've visited many orphanages all over the world. What do I mean by an orphan heart? Well, let me explain. First, I'll tell you a little story. Recently, I had a pretty good laugh with my mother. My mom is 70. She's 80. She's 82 now. She's just turned 82 in February, my mom and dad are doing great. They live by themselves, and my dad plays tennis. He's 87 years old. He's running out of tennis partners because they're all in convalescent hospitals and graveyards. So he has a hard time picking up a game, you know, sometimes, but they're doing great. But I try to be in touch with them at least once a week just to check on them, see how they're doing. And I called this probably about a week ago. And I dialed the same number that they've had for years and years and years, and it says the number is disconnected. And I thought, well, that's strange. So I dialed it again, and same thing, number is disconnected. So I thought, well, that's weird. I wonder if they didn't pay their phone bill. Something happened. And so then I called the cell number, and she picked up. I said, Mom, what's going on? I called your house number. The number's disconnected. She said, oh, I didn't tell you. We changed providers. And we rebundled and internet and, you know, Comcast or something, and we changed our number. I said, Ma, you got to tell your family when you change your phone number. I said, I've always heard of parents who moved away from their children without telling them, but now I actually know what it's like. I said, I feel like an orphan. You changed your number and you didn't tell me. And we laughed and she had it, but she was nervous about it. She thought maybe she really hurt my feelings. I said, no, Mom, I'm just kidding. But I'll tell you a story about my mom. My mom grew up in West Texas, and she was the product of a broken home. She had an alcoholic mother and a stepfather who didn't care much for her. She never felt loved as a little girl. She was bounced back and forth between aunts and uncles, and because her mother would go on drunks, and so somebody would have to take her. But some way or another, they would always make it clear to her that she was a nuisance and she was in the way, and they really didn't have room for her. But they would take her in, and then the summers she got to go to her stepfather's house, and he was abundantly clear that he wished he didn't have to. He couldn't wait for her to go back to her mother because the mother should be. And so my mom grew up just constantly feeling like wherever she was, she really didn't have family. She really didn't have a home. And she suffers. I think that kind of explains a little bit about what I mean by this sense of an orphan heart. She wasn't actually an orphan. She had parents. But the way she experienced life was a lot of rejection and a lot of unwantedness. And how many of you have ever felt that in your life, all right? I think that's a common experience. And so many people have that. My mother included suffers with an orphan heart. Now, an orphan heart is a spiritual condition in which believers know about God the Father's love. They know intellectually, they even maybe believe in their mind that God is love and that he loves them and that they are a child of God. But what they experience in life is they experience internal contradictions to that belief. So their head is telling them one thing, but their heart is saying, you really aren't loved. You really aren't wanted. People really don't need you. And you are suffering with an orphan heart. Deep down, people with an orphan heart struggle to rest and to trust in God's love. They may harbor feelings of abandonment, fear, unworthiness, sense of rejection, and usually these things are linked with unhealed hurts of the past. You know, we all get scrapes and bumps and bruises and maybe worse growing up. Sometimes we experience the world in a harsh way and we end up as broken people. That's very common. We all carry those things until the love of God comes in and really heals us and restores us and reassures us. We might suffer with the symptoms of an orphan heart. Let me give you three of them. Oh, well, let me first say that everyone begins with an orphan heart. The reason I know this is true is because I've suffered with some of those perplexing issues in my life and others that I'm going to share with you as we go forward in this three-week series. All of us are kind of born into this. We all are born, just the way we're born hungry for love and hungry for food and all that, we also are born with a need in our life. And it's a part of our fallen condition as broken human beings that we live in a world where the delivery systems of love don't always work right. And so the package doesn't always arrive. We don't always get the unconditional love. And certainly we struggle and we go to church, but then in church, you know, there's brokenness in church. And so we struggle just to find that place of love. What it is it's not church, although I'll tell you that being a part of the body of Christ has been one of the great blessings of my life. It's not a perfect place, but it is a place of nurturing and love. It's a place of support and togetherness that's very important, community. But what it is we have never really taken the journey from where we are to the ocean of God's love. But I want to tell you something. There is an ocean. It's real. And this place really exists where if you'll take that journey and step into, you'll actually experience the great love of God. Well, what is it like to be an orphan? What are the symptoms of an orphan heart? Let me give you three. First, there's a lot of fear and insecurity. Okay, and I think that's common to the human condition, but that would be one mark. The spiritual orphan is unsure of their safety. They're not sure they're okay. They're not sure they're safe. They often feel unheard. You know, I read some years ago about children who grow up in orphanages like Romania or other places where, you know, impoverished societies. And these children all struggle later in life because what happens to a child in an orphanage, they cry and nobody comes. And so rather than a cry becoming something that just precedes a need being met, they just kind of give up on crying. They stop crying because what lodges into them is if I cry, I won't receive anyway. So why cry? So there's something that happens there where a person with an orphan heart, a spirit of a fearful slave, as Paul talked about it, they stop crying for things. They stop praying. They don't cry out to a loving father because they're pretty sure that nobody's coming for them. So they feel invisible, they feel unheard, they feel uncovered, and they feel unprotected. So their instinct is to protect themselves, to protect their positions, to get contentious if somebody comes too close. They make sure they get enough food. They make sure they've got enough safety. They may feel a constant need for reassurance. They may become protective and territorial. Don't cross this boundary. Don't come too close. What am I saying? I'm saying, hey, don't come in my space. I take care of myself. I don't trust. I don't let people close because people damage. But that's not the spirit that we've received from God. God doesn't give us that spirit. God gives us the spirit of a true child of God, a son or daughter. He wants us as his sons and daughters to experience his love and his acceptance. You know, one thing about a person with an orphan heart is they're extremely competitive and extremely hard on themselves. They're hard on other people. They would tend to be a very stern parenting style, a very tough leadership style. They're hard. They believe in a standard. They want to make sure. And so it's really driven, I think, from an insecurity and from a place of saying, you know, I don't like change. I don't like stress. I don't like difficulty. I'm going to harden my exterior so that I can protect the sense of fear and insecurity. The other thing about an orphan heart is a performance orientation. People with a heart that is orphaned, they don't feel loved, they don't feel covered, they don't feel protected. They're always working hard to perform so that they can earn love. You ever find yourself overdoing it, striving to get other people to approve of you? Do you know somebody who overdoes it, just does insane things to try to perform? And then you say, why are you doing that? It's because somehow they're trying to get that love. That's the spirit of a fearful slave. A fearful slave, when you think about it, what Paul was talking about is somebody who's very insecure about their position. They don't want to lose their place in the pecking order. They're a slave. They're driven by fear. And so they'll be competitive with other people. They'll knock other people out of the way if they get in the way. And it's all about making sure that they're going to get what they and making sure that their master knows that they're worth keeping, that their place is safe, right? But that's not the spirit that God gives to us. See, we don't have to fight and scratch and shove and be perfectionists and perform to win God's love. I got something to say to you today. There is nothing that you can do in your life that will make God love you more than he loves you right now. There is absolutely no way that you can get God to love you more than he already loves you. He already loves you perfectly and fully. So if God loves you like that, what are you trying to prove? If God is approving of you, what are you trying to prove? I was talking with one of our campus pastors. Now we have four campuses, four Gateway campuses. By the way, we're adopting the Modesto group. Our board met, our elders have met. We're taking them on, and you're going to meet. You're actually next Sunday, Pastor Sean and Elma Hughes are going to be here, and you're going to meet our Modesto campus pastors. But one of our campus pastors up in Santa Rosa, we have a team in Santa Rosa, and she is a powerful minister in her own right. She happens to be female, and we were talking, and I was saying, tell me what are some of the challenges you're facing. She said, I really struggle with this thing of being a woman in leadership. I said, wow, tell me about that. I'm not a woman. I don't know. Fill me in on that. What are you facing? I can imagine. But some people don't like having women as leaders. Some people think if a woman is too strong, then she's, you know, a very unflattering person with a bad personality. And she struggles, and she's a large, tall lady. So when she walks into a room and she's a woman and she's kind of vocal and verbal and all of that, and she ends up feeling sometimes very conspicuous because she's a woman and because of her height and all of these things. I said, Pastor Greta, listen, if God has called you and God has approved of you, what do you have to prove? What else do you have to prove? You have nothing else to. You just stand in the place that God has placed you, and you just preach and love people. And every once in a while, you might meet somebody that doesn't believe in women in leadership or women in ministry, or doesn't like tall women, or doesn't like, you know, verbal women. Just that's their problem. That's not your problem. All right? You are approved, and therefore you have nothing to prove. Everyone say this: I have nothing to prove. See, that's how a son or daughter talks. A son or daughter doesn't say, my place at the table is insecure. I better fight for every scrap of food. No, if you have a loving father, there's going to be enough for everybody. Let this go deep into your heart today, because you're not a fearful slave. You're a child of God. Hallelujah. Can we just say that together? I'm a child of God. So we don't have to be performance orientated. Then the third mark, which is an interesting one, is the mark of independence and isolation. Somebody who struggles with an orphan heart will often make sure they keep plenty of distance. A spiritual orphan never feels like they belong. They don't feel like they have brothers and sisters. They don't feel like they're a part of a family. They feel more of a sense of abandonment. And maybe their story is that they were abandoned. That's not made up. A lot of people have been abandoned in life. But I can tell you also that there are people that feel abandoned that have never actually been abandoned. That's just a feeling. And one thing about feelings is they're not right or wrong. They just are. It's kind of hard to logically talk yourself out of a feeling. If you have a feeling that you are unloved, you don't need an argument that you're loved. You need to make the journey to the shore of God's love and dive in and experience God's love. You need to experience something. You need to believe something and understand. You don't have to go it alone. You don't have to do life by yourself. You don't have to say, all right, if nobody's going to take care of me, I'll just take care of myself. Because when you bring that attitude into your marriage, or you bring it into a community of brothers and sisters, it doesn't work very well. You can end up being a very lonely person in the midst of a huge crowd of people that are waiting to love you and know you. But if you're vibing, right? If you're vibing off, keep your distance. I don't do friendship. I don't do conversation. Don't look at me. Don't talk to me. Don't touch me. You'll end up very, very alone. And so it becomes like one of the problems with the orphan heart is the story just keeps getting revalidated in your life, because you're vibing like an orphan, and then people just feel like you're a little bit different, like you're alone because you want to be alone, and you really don't want to be alone, but they leave you alone because it looks like you want to be alone. And it just kind of perpetuates itself. This independence and isolation, the instinct is to withdraw from other people physically and emotionally, but true spiritual sons and daughters recognize that they need each other and that they want people in their lives. If you're a child of a wealthy father, a loving father, and you've got brothers and sisters, you need to say, I love my brothers and sisters. I'm with my brothers and sisters. We're together. We're family. I'm a member of this household, and I'm not alone. Now, some of these problems that are characterized as insecurity, performance orientation, isolation, people that are stuck living this way actually become slaves. Slaves to fear. This is what Paul the Apostle is saying. You did not receive a spirit of slavery like a fearful slave. That's not for your life. Instead, you've been adopted. But we've got to break that slavery and break that tie, always trying to prove that you're worthy of love. I'll tell you something about people with an orphan heart. They experience major stress. Do you know how hard it is constantly trying to earn love? Trying to perform perfectly so that you could just get an ounce of approval or an ounce of love. Do you know how stressful it is to live under fear all the time? Fear that your heart is going to be broken, fear that somebody's not going to be there for you. That's a very stressful situation to be in. But a person who allows God's grace and love to touch them can relax. Everyone say, relax. So if If you are allowing the love of God to touch your life, all that stress is going to roll away and you're going to relax into the love of God and realize you don't have to perform, you don't have to earn it, you don't have to strive for it, you don't have to be perfect, you don't have to be a slave, you're a child of God. And life takes on an ease. And then if you make a mistake, that's a part of your growth process. It's not the end of your relationship with God, right? If I sin, there's forgiveness, there's grace, right? I mean, I'm not recommending sin. But the idea that you've got to be perfect in order for God to love you or for people to love you, that's a huge stressor in your life. And so you just walk up to somebody who's got an orphan spirit and you say, oh, you look nice today. They say, what do you mean? And you're like, whoa. Just triggered a landmine. You touched somebody who's under such unbelievable stress that they're overreacting to the littlest thing. And you think, what's going on here? It's because they're under this stress of trying to prove all the time that they're worth loving. When we believe that we are loved, and when we believe that we are accepted, we no longer feel fear. We no longer feel the pressure to be the best. We don't feel the need to strike out at others who we're competing with. We don't feel the need to strike out on our own to provide for ourselves, and we don't have to find security in the wrong ways of sin that we sometimes get into. Now, today I want to talk for a few more minutes before we pray, and evidently we're having some major problems with the screens. That's okay, guys. Just if you need to, shut it down, because I don't want that to flash all the way through the message. You've got your teaching outline right with you, so follow along with your teaching outline. That'll be fine. Now you can see why we're doing Heart for the House. Actually, this was all planned so that you would know we truly do have to replace these projectors, okay? Let's let God heal our orphan heart. Let's move to the outline where it says, let God heal your orphan heart. 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 through 16 says, if anyone confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God resides in him and he in God. So if your confession is, not if you're perfect, not if everything's going perfect in your life, just if you confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives on the inside of you. That's the bottom line. If that's your belief and your confession, you've got God and you are in God. And it says this, and we have come to know, circle that word know. Everyone say no. We have come to know and to what? Believe the love that God has for us. Now that's the journey to the shore. We have come to know and believe. We've experienced it. We are experiencing the ocean. We are experiencing the love that God has for us. We have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is what? Love, and the one who resides in love resides in God, and God resides in him. Bottom line is, if you have Christ in your heart, you have the love of God. Well, then why don't you feel it? Maybe you haven't taken the journey yet. But today, your journey begins. Today, you're going to go see the shore. You're going to smell it. You're going to feel it. You're going to take your shirt off and dive in, and you're going to experience the love of God. If we want to stop living like orphans, we have to come to know and believe deeply the love that the Father has for us. And that's actually a miracle. I wish you could say that everyone that just hears me preach or just hears me read a scripture that instantly they become. But actually, the truth is, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit. It really takes a miracle on the inside of your heart for you to start catching the love that God had. Romans 5 says that the Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. And it's a profound miracle, a miracle that I believe God has scheduled for you. And this really begins in relationship to our faith in Christ. You've got to have a faith in Christ. And I want to read to you Beverly's story. I just got this yesterday, and Beverly didn't even, well, I think she heard what I was going to preach about, but she hadn't heard the message. But you got to listen to Beverly's story about her orphan heart. Hi, Pastor David. This Sunday's message, now this was coming in yesterday or the day before. This coming Sunday's message caused me to reflect on my own life a bit. I grew up in a small town in southern Colorado. The name of the county in Colorado that I grew up in is Huérfano. Huérfano means, in Spanish, orphan. She grew up in a place called Orphan. Looking back, I recall many times when I felt alone and separated, even if I was among family or friends. I was involved in every school activity you can imagine. I had good grades and was a favorite with the teachers, but I still felt like an outsider. It wasn't until a friend brought me to church and I answered the altar call that I truly felt like the void inside me was gone. I wish I could say that was the end of the story and my life was a triumph from that point on, but for one reason or another, I backslid and was again separated from my relationship with the Lord. Even during and after college, when I'd moved away and made friends, I still felt disconnected. You might say that I felt orphaned. To make a long story even longer, it took several bad relationships, wandering, and a lot of heartache before I found myself at an altar once again, rededicating my life to the Lord. Now listen carefully, because what I'm saying to you is what's missing in your life is Christ. And the moment you make that commitment, you come into relationship with Christ, that's when the healing of the orphan heart begins. I found myself at the altar once again, rededicating my life to the Lord. I've had some tough times since then, Beverly says, but I've never felt alone ever again. God and my church family adopted me, and I'm an orphan no longer. Thanks for being a part of my family, Pastor David. Signed, Bev. The issue is the presence of love in your life is the presence of God in your life. And if you don't have Christ, you can't possibly know the love of God. God the Father loves you, but you have to have the miracle of being introduced to God through Jesus Christ and through his love, his great love for you. And you're going to have an opportunity to give your heart to the Lord in this service. If you've never done that, I hope you'll do it. If you're here, if you're listening online, we're going to say a simple prayer at the end. But if you're one of those people who, like Beverly, has backslid, got away from God, maybe that's why you're in this building or listening to my voice today. Maybe because you need to reattach in your relationship with Jesus and allow God's love to completely fill you. Now, there are three steps in this journey. I keep talking about the journey, and we're out of time, but how many will give me 1 minute just to share these three steps? Will you give me 1 minute? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I got lots of minutes. Okay. Let me quickly give you the wrap up of this message. Here's the journey. Number one, you seek a revelation of the love of God. There's a scripture there that talks about how Paul prayed that people would be filled with the love of God. You know what I want you to do? If you want to experience the love of God, I want you to pray. I want you to say to God, today, right now, and repeatedly this week, I want you to say to God, Lord, I want you to show me your love. I want to experience your love. I'm seeking it, Lord. I'm seeking that. I want to take that journey to the shore. So you've got to begin by seeking it. Number two is to saturate your mind. That's the second one. Saturate your mind with the truth. Now, the truth of God's word will override the lies that have been built up in your mind and in your heart. Guys, I've told you this before. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's true. Am I right about that? So if a thought comes to you, okay, you're not loved, they don't love you, God doesn't love you, whatever that thought is, okay, you have to deal with that thought. So what do? You replace that thought with a God thought, with the truth. You've got to saturate your mind with the truth of the word. This is why we encourage you to read your Bible daily and attend classes at Gateway and listen to Christian teachers and take in the word of God and allow it to change your heart. The Bible says that we should consider the kind of extravagant love that God has for us. Ponder it. You know, let it sink in. Consider this lavish love that God has for us. And the third piece of this is to make a swap. You swap out your old life for a new life. You swap out your old thoughts for new thoughts. You swap out sinful habits for something that's better, that won't destroy your life. You swap out your slave habits for holiness. 1 John 2 in the Message translation says, don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. You see, what happens is people that are caught up in the world's ways and the world's goods, what they're doing is wrong and it's bad. But what's the frame of reference? Why do people seek out the wrong behaviors? Why do people go for that kind of stuff? They're trying to fill that gap in their life. But it's like putting sewage in a Ferrari instead of gasoline. When you go to the world, when you go to sin to try to fill your life, you're actually destroying yourself. God has a high octane fuel called the love of God that will fill your tank and cause you to run for. And so he says, don't love the world's ways, don't love the world's goods. Love the love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. You say, why don't I feel God's love? Sometimes it's because you've been filling yourself with too many of the wrong things. This is why God calls us to holiness, not because God is strict, not because God's trying to rain on our party or parade or whatever. God just doesn't want us using sewage as fuel in our life. He wants us to use his high octane love to live on. It says practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. It's easy to make the mistake of looking for love in the wrong place. When it comes to serving God, the reason we talk about holiness is because we want to get the junk out and just have a pure experience with God. We can be forgiven. We can be clean. Actually, we can never be perfect enough, you know, to make life work. That's why Jesus died on the cross for us. The reason Christ died on the cross for us is we don't have a prayer of living holy by ourselves. We need saving. We need a Savior. We need an introduction to the Father. And Jesus is the one who does that. When he died for us, his blood paid the price for our sins. So today, I want to just encourage you to start taking steps toward the shore. How many would like to go on a journey? Let's go on this journey. Let's start taking steps to trust in, to deeply know and believe the love that God has for us. And as we do that, we're going to be healed. We're going to find our habits change. We're going to find ourselves a lot less stressed out in life, a lot less competitive with other people, threatened by other people, a lot less driven to, you know, work one more hour just so we get approval. We're going to find a wonderful peace and grace going to rest on our lives. Amen. How many would like to take that journey to God's love? Can we begin together? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be together with people just like me, broken people, people that have questions, people that have doubts, people that have hurts and bruises, people with a past, people that need you, Lord. Father, I pray that your mighty love would just begin to rest on us in a miraculous way. I pray for the strong activity of the Holy Spirit, healing us deeply, changing the way we think, and teaching us how to be your sons and daughters instead of fearful slaves. Let us take those steps toward you now. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus dying on the cross for us. Thank you for saving us and forgiving us of our sins, teaching us how to live without that stress of brokenness and pain that we've had for so long. Just keep your heads bowed for another moment. I just want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today, maybe you're not even sure why you're here today, but I'm wondering if it be that you don't really have a relationship with God, that in reality, you've never really given your heart to the Lord. Now, most people in this room have, but if that's you and you've never given your heart to Jesus, I want to pray for you because you need to meet a God who loves you. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to the Lord, but you'd like to and you'd like my prayers, would you just lift your hand right where you are? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, so you don't have to worry about feeling funny. Just raise your hand. Say, Pastor David, pray for me. I'm away from God. If you're a backslider, if you're away from God, and thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I see you in the yellow jacket. Yes, sir, you too. If you've been away from God, kind of like Bev's story, if you believed in him and trusted him some time back, but somehow life happened and you got away from God, but you really want to rededicate your heart to the Lord, I see you. I see your hand over to my left. Thank you. If that's you and you're a backslider and you say, today I want to give my life back to God, would you lift your hand up and just raise it up so I can pray for you? God bless you. I've lost track. There's so many hands. I'd say about 10 or 12 people raising their hands this morning. What a beautiful thing. Lord, I pray for each person raising their hand that you would do a miracle in their life. Draw them close to you. Now, could we all just say a quick prayer? I'm just going to make this prayer up. It goes like this. Everyone say it with me. Dear Jesus, I'm so tired. I've been so afraid. I need your love. Fill me now. Save me. Be my Lord and Savior. And I'll serve you with my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody just look at me. There was about 10 or 12 hands just now that went up. I think those of us that didn't raise our hands should communicate to those that did raise their hands. That was a really great decision that you just made. That was a really great decision that you made. Because you just took the first step. You just took the first step toward the ocean of God's love. We're going to worship the Lord here for a few minutes. I'm not anxious for this service to end because I feel something happening in this room. I want us to sing and worship. We're going to bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for standing with the house of the Lord and honoring God with your tithe and with your gifts. It means a lot. This is how we're able to reach people. So thank you for that. As you give, let's worship the Lord together. And if you raised your hand just a minute ago, could I ask you to do one thing? I will never embarrass you, but there's a card right in front of you that says, I've decided. Would you take a minute right now? Just put down your name and tell us your contact information and let us know the decision that you've made. Drop that in the offering as it comes by, all right? Let's worship together.
Amen. God's word is powerful. And Lord, we just make a decision to trade our slavery mentalities, God, for holiness right now. We command, Lord God, the spirit of fear to leave our bodies, to leave our minds. We accept, God, that we are sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, let's sing it together. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Sing, I am a child of God. Yes, Lord. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Fear's broken in my life.
let this be your testimony.
I am
couple more times. It's worth it. I'm no longer a slave.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
You feel that right there? It's because you're in the ocean now. You're being healed now. Starting to catch what it's really all about. Father, thank you for the mighty work of your Holy Spirit. Let your blessing rest on your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just before you go, I'm so glad we could be together. I want to mention a couple of connecting points for us. You can come receive prayer here when the service is over and talk to people. If you need healing prayer, we're right here. If you're new in the church and I haven't met you, would love to meet you. We're going to have a reception for you to my left and to your right, room 10201. Thank you for that. And would love to shake hands with you. Cleansing Stream starts this very Wednesday. So there's information. Pastor Joy and Greg, would you wave your hands? If you need the hookup for Cleansing Stream, you can sign up online. But if you want to meet a real person, talk to the Youngs here. And then we're going to pray over James and Anna. James Castaneda and Anna Higginbotham. This is actually, sadly, their last Sunday. And they're going to be moving to Arizona on a God assignment, which I will explain at another time. It's a God thing, and they're doing a God assignment. And they're always going to be connected with us. But Anna's been a part of our staff. James has been a part of our worship and our youth ministry. And so those of you that know James and Anna, would you join their proud father and probably their proud other father, as we have a Holy Spirit send-off for them. So the friends and family of James and Anna, meet Pastor Albert right up here at the front. We're going to have prayer for them. God bless you, everyone. You're dismissed, all right? God bless you.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our